Welcome to the Joyful Journey podcast, where we embark on a quest for clarity and cultivate lives filled with love, joy, and purpose. I'm Anita Adams, your host and fellow traveler on this path of self-discovery. If you've ever found yourself longing for clarity or searching for ways to make a positive impact in our world, then you've come to the right place. Together, we'll tap into the power of inner wisdom, access our highest selves, and unleash boundless joy. By doing so, we not only elevate our own lives, but also contribute to heightening the collective consciousness. Join me as we dive deep into conversations, insights, and practices that light the way on our joyful journey. Welcome, Joyful Journeyer. I'm Anita Adams, your host, and I'm thrilled to introduce you to Amy Bernstein, the visionary founder of Open Mind Adventures. Through her transformative coaching, team building, and consulting services, Amy empowers individuals and organizations to break free from limiting mindsets and behaviors, fostering exponential growth in both their professional and personal lives. As a leading authority on stress reduction, Amy's groundbreaking book, Stress Less, Achieve More, Simple Ways to Turn Pressure into a Positive Force in Your Life, is a beacon for busy leaders seeking to harness the energy of change. Within its pages, she illuminates pathways to self-mastery, dynamic partnerships, holistic well-being, and peak performance, all while elevating consciousness. Today, Amy joins us to explore the core theme of her book, how we can embrace pressure as a catalyst for positive transformation in our lives. Get ready to embark on a journey of insights and empowerment. Welcome, Amy. I'm so happy to have you here, and I'm looking forward to diving into this topic.
I'm so happy to be here, Anita. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, let's jump in. I want to actually start with something that I saw on your website, because it asked a few very powerful questions. So I thought I'd start by just reading out those questions and then we can dive in. First question, what if pressure was really your helper? What if your helper was intelligent and part of the life force? Would you resist it or welcome it? And finally, if you welcomed it, who would you become and how would it change your life? I am so intrigued by these questions. And it's forced me to look at pressure in a different way, because I've always thought of pressure as this negative thing, but you're talking about it as a force for positivity, a force for change. So let's talk about this a little bit. How can pressure be your helper?
Yeah, I think first we have to define what pressure is. You know, most people think pressure and stress are the same thing, but they're not. Pressure is the energy of change. Mm. Now, there's a universal law which says, whenever there's a job or task, or you go to achieve a goal, you know, whenever there's that job or task to do, energy comes into your system in the amount needed to do the job. Now, we all know that. You go to run a race, you start feeling your heart beat faster and your legs get a little shaky, or you're going to perform on stage musically or give a speech, right? You feel that rush of energy, right? That's the energy of change. Now, let's make believe that you operate in your life with 20 volts, I'm making all this up, 20 volts of energy in your system, and you're very comfortable. You know, your life is good. You're comfortable. Here comes this job that's 40 volts, right? Bigger in some way. Okay, what's going to happen? It's going to press on your mind-body energy system. Now, what most people do is either they resist it and they work their will, and maybe they get the job done, but they're exhausted. Or some people collapse under it, you know, oh, why is this happening to me? And they become victimized by it. Other people analyze it and try to problem solve it. So they go into their head. Other people deny that they're even experiencing this. I had one client who, whenever she would experience this pressure, she would, you know, fluff it off and just go shopping. She became a great shopper, But she had a heart attack at 67 because she was so out of touch with her body, right? That she didn't even know that she was under stress. So if you resist it, collapse under it, try to analyze it, right? Deny it, you're going to have poor performance, discomfort, stress over time, disease. If you open to it because it's energy and everything is energy. Now that might sound woo-woo, but Einstein, quantum physics say it's all energy, right? So if you open to this energy and align to it and merge with it, you will experience high performance, aliveness, joy, you know?
I love that. So it sounds to me that that's really an acceptance of this thing that is in front of us.
Yeah.
Is that a good interpretation of what you're saying?
Well, it's more than acceptance of it. See, yes, it's acceptance of it, but it's an experience. See, most people were taught awareness. You know, all you got to do is go on your Facebook page, and there's all this awareness of spiritual sayings and stuff. Yeah, you know, or spiritual gurus say, oh, we are all one, we're all love, we're all. Yes, that's true. And how many people are living that 24/7? You know, I don't know anybody who is, right? So you want to do more than awareness. Yes, it's acceptance of it, and it's an experience of it. It's a welcoming, not just, oh, okay. It's a, well, yeah, bring it on, you know?
Yeah, allowing is another word that comes to my mind. So allowing, embracing. That's interesting. So you talked about the sort of the energy force, and you gave a voltage to it, like just sort of pulling it out from the sky. That's fine. So we're an energy of say 20, and this pressure of a new job or a thing is a 40. That's what we're giving it though, right? We are assigning a value to this thing that is causing us pressure. Am I off on that?
Yeah, I'm
Because
just putting a, I'm putting a number on it, but the number means nothing. I'm not
No,
giving.
okay, I get that. But I guess
What I'm
my
trying. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I love this topic, and I really want to dive into it. I guess what I'm trying to get at is it not our own interpretation of outside events that create the pressure that we experience?
I would say sometimes it's interpretation of it. You know, so yeah, your mind definitely has a say in it, you know, and sometimes things just happen, you know,
And
yeah.
I know that a lot of the work you do is in mindset shifts. So this is why I thought that this is an important part of that is what we assign, the value we assign to something can be a significant part of the journey of accepting and allowing and embracing the
Yes.
pressure that ha that is applied. Or
Yes. Yes.
that we choose to allow apply to us.
Yes. It's my formula is self-awareness plus here-ness or a conscious presence creates the transformation or the skillful action. So yes, you're right that enhanced awareness, the reflection, the interpretation, the changing the mindset, that's very important. But insights don't necessitate change because if they did, everybody would get their New Year's resolution. You know, right? You need
Good
to
point.
embody it. You need to embody it. And this is the gift that my teacher gave me. You know, I do think though that, you know, we all say, you're right when we say certain pressures we say yes to and certain pressures we say no to. So, for example, when I was a kid, I had petit mal. Petit mal is a form of epilepsy, a mild form of epilepsy. And whenever the pressure would get too great, either like the physical pressure of being on a tennis court or the pressure of hearing my parents argue, I would have a seizure. But at the same time, that age, my parents recognized I had dance talent. So they sent me to Marjorie Marshall School of Dance in the Bronx. Marjorie Marshall was the mother of Gary and Penny Marshall, the producers, directors of Pretty Woman, League of Their Own. She was a stage mother. She would push these little girls so hard to be like these perfect rockettes, you know what I mean? Dancing perfectly. But instead of having a seizure under that pressure, I would turn into energy and motion. I was alive. I was joyous. I was spacious. I was free. Now, that's true with each of us. We have places in our lives where pressure feels like an enemy. And then at other times, we just open to it. You know, when the times when it's feeling like an enemy, we're in our smaller selves. We've shrunk energetically. Our capacity is less. So if the situation is more than our capacity, we're going to have poor performance or say or do things we regret or, you know, it's not going to be good. But on the other hand, there are moments when we just go even beyond our comfort zone, our norm, and we're in this extraordinary presence, right? Where we are, our performance is extraordinary. Our words are coming out of our mouth. Things are coming out of our mouth that are brilliant, that we don't even know we know. You know what I mean? Sometimes, right? The problem is we're never taught in school or at work how you shift from one version of yourself into this extraordinary, right?
And do you know how to make that shift?
Yes, that's what I learned from my teacher. That's exactly what I've learned with my teacher. And I've learned that there's an inner map, you know, so the inner map, it's actually things, these elements happen all at once. But to talk about it, I'll talk about each of them separately. The first thing is, where is your attention? Is it out there in someone else, in your smartphone, in your, you know, your to-do list, in your wherever? Is your attention out there? Or is your attention inside yourself? Because wherever your attention is becomes your center. Now, is your attention inside yourself, but in your head? Well, okay, you might be brilliant, but you're not in touch emotionally. You're not in touch with your sensations, your intuition. You can be in your heart and you go, oh, that's wonderful. Yes, but if you're only in your heart or your head, you know, it can be like a really bad country song. Oh, he left me, I'm so sad, you know, right? Right? So you need to be in all of it, you know, in your hara, in your legs, in your, you need to be totally embodied to really to have your attention really inside yourself. Then it can open up. So, you know, when I was younger, I was a performer, I was a singer. So there'd be an audience of 1,000 people there. What you want to do before you go on stage, your heart's beating, you're scared. You're going, what am I doing this for? You know? And then what happens is you start walking, you vocalize, you do stuff, you open up, boom. And now you're embracing your audience because you're here inside you and it includes others. So that's the first element, attention. The second element is center. You have to have that center, that balance. And in the beginning, center feels like it's something that's inside you, right? This up-down kind of balance place. But after a while of playing with center, you realize, no, I am in center. Center is a portal. It's an energetic portal that begins to open me up into finer dimensions. Center has a ground. If you don't have the ground, you're not going to be able to sustain the hurricane force winds, right? Mm. You know, you need the tree that stands is the one with the deep roots. Mm. Once you have the deep roots, okay, then what begins to happen is it's like you throw a pebble in the water, in the lake, and it ripples out. The same is true. When you go all the way down into that dark, you come back up and there is this expansion, this radiation, key flow, energy flow that begins to happen, right? You start buzzing, you feel alive, you're in the zone, and your capacity, your size gets bigger. Your presence is bigger, okay? So those are the elements. Now, what I've learned through my teacher is how to make the shift in minutes. But before I teach people that, I want them to understand. And I mean understand, meaning stand under, not understand up here, right? I want them to practice. Oh, this is what happens when my attention goes out there. Because modern life pulls you out there. You're human. And every one of us reacts at some point. Something will get us off center, right? So it's not about me being in center 24/7. That's not going to happen. It's about me learning how to come back to center quickly, to recognize where I'm at before I say or do something that I regret, right? Come back to center, settle. Energy is a two-beat. Everything in the universe is a two-beat. The waves come in, the waves go out. The sun rises, sun sets. You get that rush of energy, boom, right? Someone cuts you off on the freeway, boom. Now, what you forget is the second beat. And let that energy, oh, settle. It's more than the breath. It's the energy is settling down through your legs down into the ground. Okay, now you're good. Now you're good to go.
I love that, and it's the noticing. First thing, that's the awareness piece, noticing what's happening, and then taking a moment, or even it could be seconds if you get good at this, is to allow that energy to shift by centering.
Yes. So it's noticing, but it's noticing through sense feeling. It's not noticing by imagining or it's oh, I sense my back is tight. Now you're not noticing up here, you're sensing your back is tight. You're sensing that you just don't feel spacious or powerful or, you're in the land of I don't want to, right? You want to go swimming? Nah, I don't want to. You want to go to the gym? Nah, I don't want to. Right? Because here comes more energy. To go to the gym, you need to be able to get that energy to work out. So what happens is the energy starts coming into your system. It's helping you shift from the smaller one to the larger version of yourself, the more extraordinary one, but it hits a border, right? And at that border, you go, nah, I don't want to, right? Oh, I'll do it later. You make reasons for it not to happen, blah, blah. Okay, so what I've learned is don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Yes, and just get in the car and go to the gym. It doesn't mean you like it, doesn't mean you want to do it. Just go, inch by inch.
Yeah, that's great. And that other voice is always there, ever present, trying to stop you from being your greatest by saying that you don't need to go to the gym. Let's do it tomorrow. You don't need to do that proposal. We can do it tomorrow. Let's just hang out and sit on the couch and watch Netflix. That feels great. And I feel like I'm constantly in dialogue with that other person within my head that's constantly trying to pull me down, or not pull me down so much, but just keep me comfortable. And it's an interesting journey to, like say
Yes.
no, I
That's
want to.
what, see, I think right now what's going on is a lot of people are getting the sense that there's more to who they are. Whether it's about unleashing their potential or recognizing that, they have these limited mindsets that they learned as a kid. Who do you think you are? You're not so big, don't be so big. You don't deserve that kind of attention. Whatever those mindsets were that we learned as a kid, something is happening now where people are beginning to wake up and go, oh, wait a second. I have the sense that there's more to me.
That's really interesting. And I see it and I'm experiencing that personally myself, and I'm working with clients that are experiencing that and having lots of conversations. So I do feel the truth in your words. Is that then the intelligence that you're talking about, that this is the pressure of, or maybe you can elaborate on that idea of pressure being intelligent. And I feel like that this is connected somehow with what you're talking about right now.
I mean, For me, it's, we all have our stories of, oh, I'm financially challenged. I'm, having a problem in my relationship. My work is, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is. Okay, those are our stories, and there's truth in our stories. Okay, but there's something bigger that's going on, I sense, and that is that the consciousness of the world is changing. Consciousness is energy. Energy has a frequency. When consciousness evolves, the frequency speeds up and breaks down the old in order for the new to be born. So, you just got to turn on your TV to see, oh, climate incidents, political divisiveness, wars, mental illness, mass shootings, I mean, all this stuff is going, systems and cultures are breaking down, right? And if you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, you're starting to get that message that this is an opportunity for you as well to evolve your consciousness. So I'm going through it too. I'm going through it too, my own. I've been going through it since the pandemic, because it's not a transition like, oh, and next week I'm fine, or next month. No, it's this major shift that's going on, for many, many people. That is, I'm beginning to operate from a dimension that's finer, so that my performance is better, my perceptions are keener than they were, my insights are, my experience of myself is, I'm shifting, and I'm not the only one. A lot of people are doing this. So, and yes, it's the pr and we're feeling it as pressure sometimes, because what happens is when you make that transition, I mean, you're the transition expert, so that there's comes a time in transition when you hit this bottom, right? And they call it, some people call it the incubation period, some people call it the valley of despair, but you're in the darkness, right? As you're going through this, and the pressure is great. What you want to do when that happens is you want to let go. You want to relax, soften, surrender to it, let yourself go into it. It will support you. Just like a, if you buy a 99-cent plant from Home Depot or something, and you plant it, right? The roots grow deeper. You have to plant it to a bigger pot, grows deeper again. All of a sudden, you got some stems. Oh, you keep doing it. Oh, you got flowers, right? Same thing true with us. You go deep into that darkness, and who you emerge as is a better, finer version of yourself.
You're basically sharing my personal story. And it started with the pandemic. And I know that this is, true for so many of us, where that pandemic sent me into a spiral of despair, not only with what was going on in the world, but how it was impacting my business. Something that I built from the ground up and ran for 18 years was really hit hard. And that sent me into the woods for this mindful walking that my business coach insisted that I do. And it's so interesting because it was in that time walking in the woods, which now it's been 3+ years, and I still do a daily mindful walk in nature because it is such a powerful way to transform that negative energy into something much more positive. But what really happened was this, I felt like almost like this opening of my heart and my mind, and all sorts of beautiful things started to come in. And I think that I hadn't thought about that in the form of pressure of what's going on around in the world, translating into an intelligence. Like it's like almost like a divine plan. And I know that's kind of uncomfortable for a lot of people when you think about what is going on in the world and how much suffering and pain there is. How could any kind of divine being want that? And I don't think any divine being wants that. What I do believe is that looking at it from the macro instead of the micro, the individual things that are happening, pulling back and looking, and we're seeing this incredible shift in the way people think and the way people are acting and the way they're now coming Not everyone, of course. The transition is, you know, we're not at the tipping point yet. I think we're still quite a ways from the tipping point, but we're getting closer to that place. More and more people are coming from here. And I love this idea of the pressure of intelligence. It's just language that I've never used before or really even thought about before. But I see in how you are explaining this that, yes, pressure is intelligent, and it does drive us in a way that can open up our hearts, our souls, and the possibilities. So beautiful. I love this.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I you know, when I was during the pandemic, I had a dream. And in the dream, I looking at my computer, and a red curtain opens in the computer, and there are these boxes with people in them, and they're singing. And I call my mother over to look at it. You know, my mother looks like she's 30 because my mother's deceased, right? So you always, in the dreams, you see them as young, you know. She comes over and I said, "Mom, I can't believe that I created this. This is amazing." And in the morning, I heard part of the song. When the message from your core tells you you are more, don't shrink, don't think, believe it. When the message from your soul tells you you are whole, don't shrink, don't think, believe it. And that was the beginning of me transforming my own business and creating something called The Roar of the Moor, which I'll tell you about it at the end of this. But it was a opening. It was like the red curtain opened in my life to say, okay, what you've done is great. You've done good work. You know, I have the testimonials, you know, right? But now it's like the next chapter. You know? So you may not be sure what that exactly looks like, but trust, you know, trust yourself, your essence to be leading you in the right direction.
Yeah. Take that leap of faith and really lean in.
Yeah. It does take a leap of faith.
It really does. That's interesting. It's so beautiful. And so kind of pulling it back to the questions we started with at the very beginning that I found on your website, now that we understand pressure is intelligence and that how we can work with that, you say, how do you say it? I've got to look at my notes.
And I call it, by the way, the energy of change.
Energy of change. Yeah, right. That's pressure. That's what how you define pressure is the energy of change. Okay, so you ask if we can welcome pressure. Now that we understand that pressure, this is an intelligence. Can we welcome it? Can we welcome it into our lives? And I would have to say yes, if we have this understanding now, if we know that this pressure is what can open us up to a higher consciousness, a better way of being, then yes, bring it on. I careful what I say, because pressure, because then I immediately go to, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to go through pain to get there again. Am I wrong about that? You don't have to go through pain to get there necessarily, do you?
No, not necessarily. But remember that it's more than a mental acceptance of it. It's an embodiment that you have to do. You have to open up energetically, soften, surrender, radiate like the sun. You know, it's like I when I do training classes, one of the first things that I do with people is I ask them to do an assessment of their energy habits. So I'll say, okay, here's center, right? Up, down, whatever, however you get it. Energy beam, light beam, pole, cylinder, whatever you sense it going from above your head all the way down into the ground. Okay. Now sense, feel how much you radiate into the front of you. Okay. And then from that center, sense, feel how much you radiate behind you. How far does your energy go through your physical body into the field around you? Are the two equal or is one dominant? Then I'll ask them to do the same thing. Sense, feel the energy coming on the left side of your body all the way into the field in the left side. How far out does it go? Now, let's do the same with the right side. Are the two halves equal or are they one dominant? Then we do the top part from your hara, your center of gravity, tachyon, up to above your head, right? How present and alive do you feel? Okay. Now sense from your hara down through your legs, feet into the ground. How deep do you go into the ground? Are the two halves equal or is one dominant? And then we talk, then I talk to them about it, because most people, modern life has us, our attention's out there.
Yeah.
Right? So what happens is you lose a sense of your back, which is the support. Just like the spine physically supports the body, the energy field in the back supports the whole system and sustains and nourishes the whole system. If you don't have that sense of back, yeah, you'll get things done, but you'll exhaust yourself, right? Okay. Now, if you have a sense of the back, but you don't have a sense of the front, it's, you know, they're not equal, you're more in the back, the front, then I ask, why are you holding yourself back? You know, what are you afraid of? Are you emotionally intelligent? Do you connect with people emotionally, energetically? If you're more on the left side, you know, oh, you can receive, assuming you're a righty, you know, oh, you can receive, great, you know. But if you are more on the left, yes, you receive, but are you concerned about or a little hesitant about asserting yourself in the world, you know, leading that way? If you're more on the right, yes, you can lead, you can assert, whatever. Are you as good? How are you with receiving? Is it your pride that's not letting you receive? Is it, you know, what's going on that you're not receiving? Top, great. Okay, you're present. You can feel your heart. You got the head. You can, yeah, but you don't have the ground. So you don't have the support. You got the support. Oh, but you don't have this. Oh, well, why are you squashing yourself down? You know, so when you start noticing your energy habits, okay, now that tells you a lot about how you keep yourself in a smaller presence. So one of the things that I've learned through my teacher, who's an eighth Dan Aikido teacher, and he taught how the human system aligns to the universal. You know, he was teaching much more than techniques. What I learned was that these are energy mastery skills that we are not taught in school or at work or anything. Yet, Peter Drucker, the founder of modern management, said, the first task of a leader is to master his own energy system and then to orchestrate the energy of others. So it's how do we master our energy system? See, most of us are still in our heads trying to figure things out.
Yeah. You know?
Or else, oh, we got a good heart, but then we lose ourselves in other people, you know?
So how? How do we master the energy in ourselves? And I guess you gave us a little bit of that information. That inner map is perhaps a really good starting point. And then, like, doing this exercise, do you do that in meditation where you sit and visualize, or first figure out where's my energy? Like when you were walking us through it just now, I was feeling, yeah, I've got lots of energy going this way and this way, not so much. So for those who are listening only, I feel my energy is mostly going out in front of me, to the side of me, not very much behind me.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I do is the first step in making the change. I mean, I do this little assessment, but once we do the assessment, fine, let's put it on the side. You
right.
know, no shame, no blame. You're just being an inner researcher. That's all. Okay.
Right.
Now, the first step in making a change is to always feel where you are. What's going on in my body?
Right,
oh, my
map.
Shoulder hurts, my knee hurts, my back is tight, how big is your presence? Oh, I feel, you know, it's okay, nothing great, whatever, I'm fine, you know. Well, no blame, just sense, not visualize, not notice, sense, feel, experience. Okay. Now, let's say my back. I don't have enough of a sense of a back. Okay. Then what I would ask you to do is to soften, surrender to it. Okay, what do you sense, feel in the back? What's it like? Oh, I don't feel anything. It's just dark. I don't feel anything. Okay, easy. Yes. And as you go into that darkness, okay, easy. Keep surrendering to it. Keep opening to it. Oh, what's it like? Oh, there's like a little bit of energy, like lightness in there. Okay, easy. Yes. And what's next? I process it. Yes. And what's next? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's if I have the time to do it. If I don't have the time, I'm going into a major meeting where it's going to be confrontational. I better have my back. I better have some support here. What I do is I sense feel my angel wings. Big, wide angel rings, thick, big angel wings, heavy, bam, they've got me, right? Kind of like John Travolta or something in that movie. I forgot the name of it, but, you know, big, big angel wings. Okay, yeah. Oh, you start feeling your angel wings, not thinking, not visualizing, sense feeling those angel wings. Whew, you're going to start feeling more of the back. The same thing with ground. You know, I give these dumb tips, you know what I mean? Just these
great. I love it.
Because those little metaphors are really helpful to get us in. I had a CEO of a construction company I was working with, and he would go from one meeting to another meeting, you know, and he was moving so fast that he lost a sense of himself, you know. He would kind of go into his head, and he'd get into the meeting and he would like start problem solving with people, and they wouldn't feel any connection with him. They wouldn't, you know, didn't feel good. So what I said to him was, when you get out of your car, walk with elephant feet. Elephant feet, big, thick, heavy, thick toes, long toes, right? Sense of what's under the feet. Elephant feet, they kind of sink into the ground, right? Mud, yeah. Okay, walk with elephant feet. Okay, so we started walking with elephant feet, you know? Now, he wasn't late for the meeting, but when he got to the meeting, he was more present. Because he was more here. He wasn't in his head. He was more here. So he was able to actually energetically, emotionally connect with people. Oh, what happened to you? Oh, he was walking with elephant feet. You know? I mean, just little things you begin to play with. After, none of this is a magic bullet, meaning you don't do it once and then you know. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the first time you play guitar, you don't know what you're doing. And, you know, after a year, yeah, you get pretty good. But hey, after 5 years, you're much better. And right.
Right.
The thing with these are practices, energetic practices, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. I love the tips. I think these are really practical things that we can use right now to help us navigate through the energy of change, i.e. pressure, and get grounded, feel our energy, and powerfully move forward in life. So thank you. I really love that. You've answered so many.
And, you know, one of the things I want to say is that, you know, I've listened to a bunch of meditation teachers who I'm sure have very deep experiences. But what they'll say is, okay, now take a breath and relax. Or they'll tell me some brilliant, beautiful poem or whatever. That don't cut it for most people. They don't know what relax feels like. You know what I mean? That's why they're meditating. One of the reasons they're meditating, to learn how to do it. So what I offer people is a trail. It's like if you and I were going to go walk in the woods and we've never been there before, we would notice where we park our car. We start to walk and, oh, okay, there's the big redwood tree on the right. Oh, we keep on walking and then we get to a creek on the left. And then we keep walking and we get to a valley of flowers, right? So we know how to get back to our car, and we know
Yep,
how to
that's
get to the valley of flowers. Okay. If you're in your head telling people to relax, don't do it. It doesn't do it for them. What you need to say to them, okay, open your mouth a little bit. Okay. Sense, feel your chin. Open your mouth a little bit and sense, feel your chin. Sense, feel as if you had a big beard on your chin. What will happen? See, when you're thinking, you're up here in your head. As soon as you start bringing it down, energy in the chin, okay, now I'm a little bit closer to my body. Keep your mouth open, maybe your tongue on your on the roof of your mouth. Okay, easy. Take that breath. Settle it down like a waterfall. It settles down. Sense, feel it settling down. You know, you need to give people little clues of, okay, you need to, in order to get grounded, you need to have more of the back. So when you tell them to take a breath, one of the ways they need to take a breath is breathe from the back through the physical body that radiates out through the chest that way. Okay. When you start doing that, oh, what I've noticed is, oh, my head starts coming up. And what I sense is the energy of I am. This joy, openness begins to come through me. You know, I mean, that's not the girl from the Bronx. You know what I mean? Right? You know, oh, yeah, okay. So energy from the back. Ooh. Or when you breathe into your hara, it's not just the hara and the lower back. No. When you take that breath, let that whole back fill up, comes through the whole back, comes forward. So it's like this big balloon that is beginning to expand. Does this make sense?
It makes beautiful sense. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And it helps to alleviate stress when you can really sense, feel.
Yes. And once you get past the stress, like most people, they meditate because they're under stress. Hey, that's great. Okay. Now, once you go past the practice of dealing, of relaxing, okay, now you can go into a deeper practice, which is, okay, you know, you begin to open up to that universal energy field where all ideas exist, Einstein says, right? Oh, all of a sudden you're getting more creative. Or you open up and whew, you know, one of my experiences was, oh, I open up and there was no longer a physical body. It was just awareness aware of itself. Oh, okay. My teacher said, good. That's one step closer to finding out who you are. You know? Okay. So it becomes a real spiritual practice.
Do you recommend this as a daily spiritual practice?
Yeah, I sure. You know, but here's the thing. I recommend that you regularly check in with yourself.
Okay.
To see, where am I at? What's my energetic habit? So put a little post-it on your computer saying breathe. You know, or you know, when you sit down in the chair, okay, can you feel your butt in the chair? Can you feel your thighs? You know, what would it be like if you let all the weight go into your chair? You're like a sumo wrestler, you know, boom, heavy, right?
I like the imagery that you provide. So you're really talking about presence, like really just getting present with the here and now and what is going on within and around you by noticing your outer environment, but most importantly, your inner environment.
Yep. And one of the things I notice is if there's no pressure, right? Like there are certain things that, you know, if you said to me, come on, let's go rob the bank. That's a definite thing, no, to me. I don't have to think about that. That's no, right? But, you know, if you said to me, oh, you know, you want to go to the gym right now. You want to go have coffee, whatever it is, you know. If there's no energy, if there's no pressure coming, it doesn't matter if I do it or I don't. But when the energy starts pressing on me, ooh, I got to listen to that one. I don't want to do what is my teacher calls 180 degree turn, meaning when I was younger and I didn't understand this, I would meet some hot guy. He'd ask me out Saturday night. Ooh, I'm happy, right? The afternoon of the date, I would go, I don't want to go. I'd rather read a book. I'm too tired. I'm not into it, and I'd break the date. That was the 180 degree turn. The energy was coming in for me to go have this great date, and I would go the other way, right? So recognize that's the border I was talking about. Recognize if you're feeling that pressure, don't say no to it because there's something in there for you, right? Allow it to come, and those are the maybes, right? Sometimes it's a definite yes. Sometimes it's a definite no. It's those maybes that get us confused. If the energy is there pressing on you, open up to it, allow it, experience it, and see what it says to you.
I find that so interesting, and I love this. Don't do the 180 turn, 180 degree turn. That's such a good little phrase to remember. I feel this experience frequently, multiple times actually through my day often. Even, like doing these podcast interviews, as I get really excited about them, and then the moments before leading up to it, I'm like, oh, I hope she cancels.
Yes,
Because, right?
that's right.
Because there's a little bit of discomfort in doing this stuff,
Yes.
as much as I love it. And as soon as I'm actually in the conversation, it's like the nerves and everything are gone. But I
Yes.
always, 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 always have that moment of, oh, I hope she cancels. Or, like I was doing a live speaking engagement a couple months ago, and it was the first time on a live stage, and I was so excited about the opportunity. The day of, I was praying for like a windstorm to knock out power lines, to there be like some kind of, I don't know, big ordeal that's going to prevent me from being able to get to this thing. And it's just funny how our mind works.
That's how it's more than it's that is so normal. That's exactly what happened. So what I do, like I've told you, I've learned how to shift to a finer version of myself quickly. So before I did your podcast, get on your podcast, I did my energy practice. There's an energy being, there's a finer version of me coming through my system who communicates better, or whatever I said,
Is that the wings that you were talking about? Do you do
What's
the
that?
wing? Was it the wings that you were
No,
talking about?
it's not wings. It's not, I mean, it's spacious, but yeah, I'll
Okay.
show you one of these days. But it's in my Roar of the More class. That's the last thing I teach, how to make that shift. So it doesn't matter whether it's like I went to a periodontist, and he had to do some surgery on my gum, and and he said, well, it could take a while till it heals. Okay, I went home and I did this energy practice. There's an energy coming through my system that helps me heal physically, helps me heal physically. And I would do it. I did it before I went to the dentist. I did it after I went to the dentist. I went to the dentist for my checkup. He said, "Man, I can't believe how fast you healed." There is energy is intelligent. You can dialogue with it. You can call it up through your system. Those
Do we have
qualities.
time for you to share a little bit more about what the energy practice is, or is that a bigger conversation?
That's a bigger thing that I would, I would want people to first sense. I don't want them to go into a bigger version of themselves and they're off center, or they have no
I see
ground,
there's a
or they,
process.
it's
Right.
really a process so they can be really present
Got it. Got
while
it.
they're doing it. But that's the roar of the more for me, where I where they learn to sense the energy that is their potential. Step into it, which then ignites the change in their lives,
Awesome.
draws the opportunities.
Okay. Very, very cool. What? Why don't we? We're getting close to the top of the hour. I want you to tell us more about this. You created a virtual training and coaching series, which is called The Roar of the More, and it's specifically, if I understand correctly, to help people shift into an upgraded version of who they are. So, can you tell us more about the series and
Yeah.
also a little bit about what motivated you to create it?
I was, like you said about your own transition, same thing happened to me. I've spent decades working with senior executives from major corporations, Chanel, Dolce & Gabbana, Ritz-Carlton, Microsoft, Novartis. I mean, big companies, right? Pandemic hits, you can't go in. Everything is remote. Oh, so you get some webinars. There goes my business. But it was perfect because you see, when I was in my 30s, I was very involved with women's empowerment. I wanted to learn what power was because in society, we misunderstand power and force. So I wanted to know what true power was. So I went into corporations because, in where do you learn about power? Either politics or corporations. So, okay. Well, I've learned what I needed to learn. Doesn't mean I know everything, but I've learned what I needed to learn. So here comes the pandemic. My business changes, right? And all of a sudden, I have to transform. And now it feels like my soul's journey. My soul's purpose at this chapter of my life. I believe that it's been my soul's purpose to the different chapters, but now it's a different purpose, that I need to do. So when I had that dream, I said, why don't I take some of the elements that I've been teaching these senior leaders for decades and let's give it to the public. Plus, during that time, my teacher during the pandemic was doing Zoom calls every Friday night. And he was very interested in the self. And when we talk about the self, people usually say, okay, true self, soul, yes. And they say, oh, operate from your true self. Yes, but not quite. See, the universe has many, many dimensions. So we can operate from different dimensions. Right? So we live in a material world. We're operating from the material world, but yet our consciousness could be like a little finer, right? So our self is operating from a finer dimension. That's why, Judy Neal's stuff of Edgewalkers, right? You're in a material world, but you're spiritually there too, right? Okay. Well, it's not about operating from your soul. That was Christ and Buddha and whoever, the big guys were the big ones, it's about getting finer and finer dimensions, moving closer and closer and closer in each lifetime, letting yourself return to the self. That makes any sense to you, right? So I wanted to help people do that because that's what was happening to me. So the first things that I offer is I do an NLP session on who are you becoming? So I lead them through this NLP so they have a sense of the qualities and who they're becoming. Then we do the Enneagram personality tool. So they get a sense of this is my software program, this is my head, so I don't have to believe everything I think. These are the biases and boundaries of my thinking. Okay. Then I take them through Bridges' model of transition so that they know that when they're in different stages, there's nothing wrong with them. They're where they have to be exactly as they go through this transition. Okay. Okay. Then I start introducing them to the energy map. Where is your attention? Then we do a centering session, grounding. Then we do key flow, opening up, right? Feeling that bigger size. Then we talk about your mindsets, the limited mindsets, and I give them cognitive ways and then energetic ways of shifting, letting go of that mindset. So I'm a hypnotherapist, but I don't do hypnotherapy With people in Roar of the Moor, because I don't want to open them up and they experience a trauma and then I'm gone and they have to deal with the trauma, you know, which sometimes happens with hypnosis. So I do practices, cognitive ways and energetic ways that are safe for people to explore. And once they've done that, then I start leading them into how do you make the shift quickly? What are the qualities that you're calling up in yourself? What are the qualities that you lead from? You know, what's it like to shift quickly from small to a larger version of yourself? Who are you at that point? So that's the series.
Well, it's very comprehensive. How many weeks or months is this program?
Yeah, it's an 8-week program. It's an hour and a half each week. And I usually do it like on a Tuesday night or something. So people are done with their work and whatever. And as part of the series, I offer them a half hour one-on-one coaching session with me,
awesome.
Half hour. And then I give them as a gift my embodied meditation tape, which gives them the trail of how to get into their body and open up into the
right.
universal field. And I also assess their Enneagram type. So that's all part of the same package.
Awesome. And can you be selective about the modules, or do you do the whole program? Like, could I just do a couple of different things that you teach? Or
no, I do no, yeah, the whole series. And
right.
I limit it to 10 people.
Okay. Awesome.
Because I want people to have personal attention, you know.
And is it a group? It is a group thing on Tuesday nights, you said, I think.
Well, it could be, I've been doing Tuesdays, but it could be a Thursday the next time I do it. Who knows, depending on people. But, I've had a couple in California who wanted to do it themselves. They did it alone. They weren't part of the group, but they were able to help each other. Develop. I've had people do it individually because they don't want to deal with a group, or they're not available that night or whatever it is. So you can do it individually if you want, or you can do it in a group. But if it's a group, it's going to be a small group. It's not going to be hundreds of people.
Right. Okay. Awesome. I love the options that are available. I believe you said you had a gift that you were going to give our listeners, that they can go to your website and download something. Is that correct?
Yeah. And, truthfully, I forgot what it is, but so
I've got the link. I just don't have it in front of me right now, and we'll put it on the website. So, or pardon me, in the show notes, so people can go and download what you have to offer them. So
yeah, good. And what people can do too is go to my website, www.openmindadventures.com, and go to the contact and just contact me, fill out the contact form, tell me what you want, and I'll get in touch with you and we'll go from there.
Awesome.
So if you're interested in coaching, you want some coaching, some separate coaching to help you deal with it, or couple counseling, or whatever it is, or Roar of the Moor, on my website, you'll see on the menu bar, the Roar of the Moor, and there's the explanation and there's a video and, so it's all there for people if they're interested.
Yeah, you've got a great website. There's a lot of really good information there. So check it out. And your book, I can't remember if you can order it directly off of your website. I think you've got links to how you can get it from.
I link people to Amazon usually, but you can get it in Target, Barnes and Noble, different retailers, would have it. And the other thing that I want to say to people is, we're all dealing with a lot of pressure, but my experience is that people put everything else before themselves.
Yeah.
So it's, I have to get all these jobs done. I can't take time for myself. I had one guy who was a vice president of HR. He had been in a new company for about 6 months. This company was a major company. You'd know it if I said its name. And, he was stressed. So I said to him, hey, why don't you create a program of self-care Work it for a couple of months till you're feeling a little better. And then have a meeting or create a video where you tell your employees, I was feeling stressed. This is what I did. Now I'm feeling so much better. I want to support you in doing the same. He wouldn't do it because he was afraid that people would see him as less than, not capable. You're not productive enough, right? Or, you know, we're taught in the society that we should take care of others, be good to others, love others. But I don't know about you, but I wasn't taught to self-love.
No.
I never had hatred for myself or anything like that, but I never thought about self-love. Self-care is a form of self-love. It's commitment. Commitment to self-care is a form of self-love. And in this transition, I really hope people get that they matter, you know, and that it doesn't mean that you have to take, you know, 2 hours in the gym. No. When you feel yourself losing yourself, call yourself back. Call the self back, you know, just like a good dog. It'll come if you train it, you know, or, you know, you're not sure about, you can't take the 2 hours or whatever. Steal time before you get out of your car to go to the next meeting. Just sit there and take some breaths. Settle your energy down. Feel your root system. Feel yourself radiate like the sun. You know, it takes just a few minutes, but those are the moments of self-care. And the more that you get used to it, what begins to happen is you start getting a closer relationship with yourself, your essence. That changes so much. I'm telling you, it changes so much. And having that self-care, it's about learning about self-love. You know?
Oh, 100%. That's where we got to start, is in that space of self-love, and everything opens up from that space.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you die, you're not going to think about all the jobs that you did or that you got that report done, but you're going to sense how were you with yourself? How close were you to your essence? How did you have that self-care, that self-love? You know, that's what becomes important.
Yeah,
So it's
absolutely.
not one or the other, but you need to include that self-care and that self-love.
Yeah.
So
it's a great closing note. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think it's very powerful that we need to come back to self and nurture our love of self. That's where everything comes from. So thank you. Really appreciate your time and your insights. I love all the different little analogies. I love the elephant feet, you know, walk with elephant feet. I love the angel wings to feel your power and feel grounded. I love all of the stuff that you shared, and there's lots of wisdom here. So thank you. And I feel like we barely scraped the surface of the gift that you have to offer the world. So Joyful Journeyer, I encourage you to go and check out Amy's website. Again, give us the name of your website. So
www.openmindadventures, and also check out my book. It's Stress Less, Achieve More: Simple Ways to Turn Pressure into a Positive Force. And it also includes a conflict resolution model that could interest people. That's
awesome. Awesome. And of course, we'll include all the links in the show notes. So thanks for tuning in, Joyful Journeyer. If you enjoyed the show, please rate it, give a review, share it, spread the love. That goes a long way in helping us spread the messages and raising that collective consciousness. So have a great one, and we'll connect with you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Joyful Journey podcast. We hope today's episode has sparked something special within you. If you resonated with any part of today's show and you're eager to explore further, visit joyfulinspiredliving.com. There you'll discover additional resources designed to help you unlock the power of inner wisdom and create a life aligned with your highest self. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter and receive a complimentary download of our three guiding principles to inner wisdom. These principles serve as a roadmap to clarity, confidence, well-being, and joy. If you have any questions or simply want to connect, reach out. I always enjoy engaging with fellow joyful journeyers like you. Until next time, wishing you joy, love, and inspiration.